Tracks of Life, what up?
We're out here, baby.
Welcome, I'm Jordan.
Fabian.
And our guest today is Fabian.
Maraschulo.
Yeah. I got to do mine last week, yep. And so...
I'm out here, man.
He had his list before I had my list, and I jumped in line.
So I'm honored to be here. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, you know, it was my co-host, other Fabian.
Yeah.
That got you on the show.
Exactly.
So don't thank me.
Yeah, well, when I see him, I'll thank him.
It's weird. We're doing this naked. We don't have headphones on today.
Clothed.
Yeah.
But naked.
Yeah. We realized we didn't need headphones to hear ourselves because we're here.
Which you feel like everybody looks so cool with headphones, man.
I know. I'm having a good hair day, though. So
yeah, that's what it's all about.
I didn't want to crush it.
This dude looking for, he's like, you know, I don't think we need headphones anymore. And then I'm like, this motherfucker's worried about his hair.
Judge me.
Hey, whatever.
Judge me.
Hey, I'm bald. I'll never understand. Oh, man.
You got to hold on to these while you still got them.
For sure, bro.
You know what I mean?
You got plenty of time left.
Bought a new blow dryer. It's going well.
This looks good, yeah, dude.
It's Dyson. I can put my hand through
it. Do you mousse or gel or what do you, product?
I use a couple kinds of, you really want to know my hair regimen?
Listen, it's a big part of you. You brag about it. I think we deserve to know, bro.
All right. So I wash my hair once every like 3 days. That's a key part of it.
Okay.
And then
overwashing is bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Got it.
Yeah. And then I blow dry it, get it poofy. I do an intricate blow job.
Nah. Blow dry.
Dry.
Edit.
And and then I use this stuff called Miracle Hair.
Mm.
It's like a leave-in conditioner
kind of thing.
Kind of get the hair, you know, woken up.
Yeah, you know? If you will.
Yeah, get the party started. Mm-hmm. Ease in.
Now that's post-dry.
That's post-dry.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And then I use Leila Beau hair paste.
Fire.
Smells great.
Fire.
Works great. And then I hairspray the shit out of it.
Damn. And they go on your day.
You're damn right.
Fuck, man.
Wind can't get
Who
me down.
Who knew all that happens upstairs,
Wind
man?
Can't get me down. Yeah, I really only take a 2-minute shower and then I just spend 15 minutes doing my hair.
Fuck, man. All right, now the more you know.
The more you know, yeah. G.I. Joe.
Speaking of.
Anyways. Oh, anyway.
Anyway.
That's a pet peeve of mine when people say anyways and I
really?
Just did it. Yeah, it's not a word. It's anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
I never even thought
Take
about
note.
It. Anyways,
I grind
so
my
moving
teeth.
On.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, man.
So you're going to take us on a journey today.
All right. Yeah,
I get
I
to
am.
Use your line. All right, man. Take us on a
take
journey.
Take us on a journey. Take us on your musical journey.
The first page of a book never tells the full story. And those news alerts and headlines, like the ones we get on our phones, don't even scratch the surface of what the story is really all about. Stories are like people, multi-layered and complex. It takes some digging to find the truth, but when we find it, it can change our world. We like to dig. The news on Merritt Street. Essential television.
All right,
you got
man.
A theme here, or are we just winging
right,
it?
It's kind of my lifeline. It's kind of all in order. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And try to get through all of them. If not, you know, we'll be back, but...
I already feel like I left some of mine out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
We're going to have to do two-parters on this.
Dude, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, listen. So the first song, totally random. So people that know me, like a lot of these songs, you're going to be like, yo, what the fuck? Because this doesn't make any sense. The person he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rod Stewart. No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Rod Stewart.
Okay, all right.
But Forever Young by Rod Stewart.
Oh.
All right?
Yeah.
You know the song.
I think everybody knows the song.
So my mother, my entire life... Well, it came out, I was already born. Not my entire life. It wasn't out before I was born.
Yeah.
But my mother always would tell me, like, that was like her theme song for me growing up as a Forever Young. No matter what I do,
is that why
where
you're
I
like
am.
Such a child?
Huh? So most of the time, because I'm Forever Young.
Yeah.
No, but when I, you know, wherever I am, what I'm doing, that song always sticks to me because I always think about my, you know, you never, no matter where you are, your mom's your mom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No matter where she is, you know? So it's like, so I'll hear that song and I'm like, I remember sitting in the car and she'll sing it to me. She's horrible. My mother's deaf. I don't know if people know that. My mother's deaf, which is weird because like what I do for a living with my ears, you know what I mean? So I always say like when I was born, my job, my whole career came from my mom not having... It's weird, like, because I get paid for my ears. My life is
Did
my ears.
Did she go deaf, or was she always deaf?
She was... No, she had hard of hearing as a child, but when I was born, she went to, like... She's got, like, 20% in 1 year, something like that,
wow.
After I was born.
Yeah.
I don't have no... I never heard of nothing like that. It sounds, like, absolutely crazy. But, yeah, so I always feel like I owe a lot to my mom because of that. It's so weird. Like, yeah. you know, my job is my ears, and my mom went deaf when she had me. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's some random, like, I don't even know what that's. We got to ask your dad. Yeah. There's got to be something about this.
Does this work? Is this a thing?
Is this a thing? Like, this been around somewhere else? But yeah, man, so.
And she was still singing out.
So, oh, she belted out, man.
But still
like,
does, huh?
Yeah. It's so bad. Like, it's so bad, man. But, you know, I love her to death. You know, she's mom. I mean, what are you going to do? You don't correct mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, you're killing it, mom. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so every time I hear that song, no matter where I am, you know, it reminds me of my humble childhood. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Coming up, doesn't matter if I'm, you know, wherever city I'm at, having a fancy dinner or nothing like yeah. that. I think about sitting in the back of my mom's car with no air conditioning and her
little Fabian.
Yeah, railing that song, man. Horribly. But, you know, horribly. I love you, mom. I love you, mom.
I'm sorry. It was terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly, man.
It was terrible.
Exactly. So, but the singer in my family, see this going on? You see how I'm doing this here?
Yeah,
you see
it's
that
an
transition?
Transition.
Yeah. So, it was my dad. So, my dad has been a singer.
Still is.
Yeah, still is a singer.
I gotta see
you
him.
You see it? Oh, you got it. It's a movie, bro. He's got like old ladies cheering him on. It's incredible, man. It's incredible. But, so these two songs have to do with that. And it reminds me, it made me learn a lot about. You know when you like look up, I'm sure you had this. You ever look up and you're like, yo, my dad's a badass. Like, oh, do yeah. you remember that? Like that yeah. moment when you're like, dude,
yeah.
my dad is like, holy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot, I'm sure, but yeah. you know.
No, I just remember the first time I thought my dad was like actually a badass.
When, what happened?
I don't even remember what he was like some guy did something like really wrong and my dad just like let him have it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah. super villain and hero at the same time.
Yeah. And yeah. you're like, he's so nasty, yeah. but whoa.
I heard him use more swear words and then like everybody think every again, we get yeah. shit for cursing.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, whoa, you are the bad son. And right. If people knew how much my dad swore.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like you know where I get it from, right?
Exactly. Anyway, all right.
Yeah,
sorry.
So anyway, the first song when my dad I remember watching him perform these. So there's a song by Mel Carter. It's like, my dad does like doo-wop music, 50s yeah. and 60s stuff.
Which
so
is
it's called, yeah, it's dope, man. I learned a lot about vocals from all this stuff in my mixing. But anyway, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me by Mel Carter.
I know that song.
You know the song?
Yeah.
The song is fire, bro. So like the end of it, like he there would be like a breakdown and then and I'm not even gonna pretend I'm gonna sing it, but it's gonna go at the end he goes, never let me go and he holds a note and then yo, I remember watching and I was like 12 years old and I always used to do sound with my dad. So yeah. that's how like even when I was a kid, I would do those live shows and stuff like that. And I remember like the fucking audience would go insane when he would do that song and I was like, yo, my dad's a badass. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's like around that time. Cause you know
it's like the equivalent of like a proud dad going, that's my son up there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you were like, that's my dad up there.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, and then, and by the way, I had a mullet. We were talking about that earlier. I had a full-on mullet. You know, I was, what was it? Dude, it's the 80s. What do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, I've considered wearing a mullet.
Yeah, you could pull it. You could pull it.
Yeah.
Your regime would, you know, it'd take an extra hour, but, you know, you yeah, could do it
well,
though, bro.
Well, no, because it's the party in the back.
Yeah, you just let it go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, still handle the business up front.
I think we need mullet wigs.
Wigs.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I don't know what I'm capable of still.
The skullet that you just learned about.
Skullet. Rhett just told us about a skullet. I never... You knew about a skullet?
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that's like you go into Supercuts, you get five options.
Skullet.
One's
one of
a skullet, yeah.
Was it like number three? It's like right
yeah.
in the middle?
Yeah. it cost extra.
All right. So the second song, same lane, was Karamia by Jay and the Americans.
See, I don't know that one.
See, it was like... You would know. It's been in a bunch of movies, but it's like one of those like obscure.
Yeah,
it's been redone a bunch of times with the original guy.
I'm sure it's you gotta be in like Goodfellas yeah. or something, right?
Actually,
yeah,
it's one of those. Yeah, so no, but I had the same thing. The last note. So my father, like, he always was like power singer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like ballad guy and stuff like that. So like he was definitely did hair metal back in the day. Nice. You know what I'm saying? Before he landed on doing the doo-wop stuff. But so that song was another one of those ones, and I was like, this is incredible. But it also made me. Know that I did not want anything to do with what you do. I did not want to be an entertainer. I did not want to be in front of people. Like, it kind of made, just watching the people, even at a young age,
yeah.
I realized then that I did not want to be bothered by people. You know what I'm saying?
But you still wanted to do something.
But I still wanted to be in music. You know what yeah. I mean? So that was
See,
like part of the thing.
Because I don't think I ever didn't want to be in front of people.
Didn't you never thought about it like that?
It was just, it just seemed like the most fun.
Yeah.
But like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, cause it's probably hard because it's your thing. And it's like you love it.
I guess so. I guess it's... I just assumed... I don't know.
It's just normal to you. So it's like,
yeah, but like, you know, it's like, it's interesting to hear your journey of wanting to be, just always wanting to be, not even behind the scenes, but just like the wizard behind the curtain.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which is dope.
Yeah.
And now that I know more about that world, but I guess the most interesting part of it for me is like a kid realizing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you would think like a kid would just want attention.
Right. And be out there.
But I guess not. Maybe I was just, maybe I was just that annoying.
Hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Hi, I'm Jordan. I'm Jordan. I'm Jordan. I'm Jordan. Forget about Jay. I'm Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but yeah, no, because I remember like literally, because we would stay, we would do this like resort, like yacht club type of thing on the weekends. And they had every weekend they had like a Saturday night thing. And that was like one of his gigs. Well, not every weekend, but it was like, that was one of his like rotating gigs. Yeah. And we would go there and we would stay, you know, cause it was cool. And I was having a ball, you'd go in the pool, you do this and that. But I remember my father just couldn't be left. Like I couldn't even hang out with my dad. Cause everybody that was there and was there, you know, hanging out. Oh, this is Tommy's going to be here, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was always so annoyed by it, you know, and I understood it came with it, you know, but like it was annoying to me as a kid, you know? So then I wanted to be music. I definitely had to do music, but what do I do now? So boom, that's how I landed, you know, that's onto crazy. That.
I guess for those of you that don't know still, Fabian's maybe the best mixer in the world. So
embarrassing me, bro.
No, but I guess that's, I mean, it takes that like, knowledge of what you wanted to do from such a young age.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you, from that point on, listen to music different.
Oh, yeah, full on. Yeah. Like, I was always trying to pick apart, what do they do to the snare? What do they do to this? Like, and I would never, it's hard for me to listen. I actually get blasted by this a lot, and I don't really care, but, like, I mix it very scientifically. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't really even, I'm like, the song, of course I listen to the song, but I listen to the elements. You know what I mean?
It's just I feel like that's a science that's worth embracing, because there are certain ways that people just everybody hears something, some parts of a song the same way,
for sure,
you know, and I don't think people realize it, but like if a snare is too loud, your average person might not notice that the snare is too loud, but something's off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're gonna feel something weird,
and if you know that frequency doesn't
resonate, it's not pleasing to your ear or whatnot. Yeah
Eddie always points something out that's interesting about Eddie's engineer, front of house, tour manager.
He's dope.
Yeah, he's awesome. But he always points something out to me that I've always thought is interesting, and it kind of speaks to that kind of like base level assumption or base level knowledge of where things are supposed to sit. Uh-huh. Is that somebody could be mowing their lawn outside of your window, and it's, you know, a 10 on a volume scale, and it doesn't bother you at all.
Right.
The guy two houses down hits a snare three times at half the volume.
It drives you crazy.
And it's like, what is that?
My teeth are rattling right now. Like, I hate you.
Because it's unfamiliar and it's just like piercing. Yeah, it's true.
No, that's a great example. That's a great way to explain it.
Yeah, but I think that kind of probably applies to the science of mixing.
Completely.
You know?
You find pockets for things to fit.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, the art of creating it, which is done by the time it comes to me.
Yeah.
We find ways to make it all go together.
How do you explain to people what you do? It's like funny. People that have no idea.
Everybody thinks I'm a DJ. They're like, oh, you got some cool songs for us? I'm like, no, it's not what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, not at all. Like, I basically just tell them when an artist's done with a song, when they're all done, they just give it to me.
Yeah.
And I make it so you can hear everything they're saying.
Yeah.
You want to dance to it. And it sounds full.
Yeah,
that's it. And then they still don't get it.
But you know the furniture in the right place.
Yeah, makeup. Yeah. I'm a makeup artist. I put the makeup on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm a glorified makeup artist. Bad example, but yes, you know what I'm saying.
I feel you.
Yeah, man.
That's interesting.
All right, so now I'm getting into my high school years, right?
Uh oh.
And these aren't really tough guy things. You would think there'd be more of them because I always portray that I'm a big tough guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway,
I know.
First one. You know all about it. Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, yes.
What a song, right?
Yes.
Now, it's really meaningful to me because see you at the crossroads. So what happened was that song came out and I was a sophomore in high school. And three of my close friends died in a car accident. A drunk driver killed the kids.
Wow.
And it was fucking horrible. I mean, it was horrible. Like, the whole school was like brought to the knees because they were like, great kids. Like, you know, one friend, she survived. So three passed, she survived. And it was her boyfriend. And it was tough, dude. So good friend of mine, you know, and she it's weird because they were finding like broken bones like months later in her.
Really?
Oh, at this. And then she used to go around and go, I have no spleen. It was like a joke. Like, she's like, hey, I got no spleen. Nice to see you. You know what I mean? That was like her thing moving forward. But then that song came out, right? The same, like that summer, that song came out. And it really helped all of, like, we were fucked up, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was rough. Yeah. Like, I'm like thinking about it now. I still get choked up by it. It's just like kids are taken away at 16. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're gone, man. It's a shame, you know?
Yeah.
But that song came out and it really, I'm not going to lie, it helped a lot of us get through it. Like, I remember they played it, you know, at school. It was on repeat and it was everywhere. You couldn't, that was the song that year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, I remember that, like it was yesterday, man. I remember that song coming out. It was right after that had happened and it really helped, that helped a lot of us get through that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was rough, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
What like an appropriate song for that kind of thing though, too.
Yeah. It was like, it was meant to be, you know what I'm saying? It's wild.
That's crazy. See, I have I have a really happy memory of that song.
Really? So the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Let me hear.
Well, it's not even a crazy story. Mm-hmm. It's just my brother, he's 7 years older. So just for like, I think 2 years, we were at the same school.
Uh-huh.
Because he was in high school and I was in middle school on the same campus.
Okay.
So he would drive me to school every day for those 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And we had two songs we put on repeat. That was way there. It was that one and then... And then two different Garth Brooks songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but which is a weird combo. But
yeah, it's totally different.
But it's just interesting.
Whole different perspective.
Mine, like, if I hear that song, I smile and laugh.
Yeah, if I hear that song, I think of my friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's music, man. Yeah. It's wild.
But man, that's what that song's about, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, it was almost like they wrote it for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A shame, man. Played it at graduation, you know, a couple years later. Yeah, it was like, you know, everybody was still remembering the kid. It was like...
Of course.
That was horrible, man. Horrible. But anyway, we'll get back into happy zone. You know what I'm saying? all right. Now, my favorite song of all time it was out before I was in high school, but it was on constant repeat in my car.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before.
I think I know where this one's going.
Eazy-E, Boys in the Hood.
I mean.
Dude. Like, I know every word to that song, and I will belt it out at any time, whenever it's played. The other day, there was like a remake on the radio.
Oof, really?
Yeah, and it was freaking awesome.
Oh.
Hold on.
I would never guess that.
Dude.
That's a ballsy move.
You would actually like, no, it's old too. From 2000.
Oh, really?
Dynamite Hack.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
fire.
Yeah.
They crushed it.
I totally know that.
So I had never heard it before. So me and Victoria were driving, my wife Victoria, we were driving and with Shazam.
Yeah.
We were driving, I was like, dude, this is fire.
Yeah,
I've been playing it all week.
It's so good, I even forgot that it existed because I don't, like...
Yeah, it's not...
It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. It's incredible, man. So that's on my list for sure, man. For sure. I can't not mention that.
The OG version.
The OG version.
Yeah. Hard not to put that song on. It's hard to put that song on and not feel like a gangster.
Yeah, like you put your seat back a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Lower your hat a little bit. Yeah. You're a Raiders fan for 30 minutes.
And then when they put the movie out...
Yeah.
I was literally standing up in the theater. My wife was like, sit down. It's so embarrassing.
Why do you think I bought back row tickets?
I was like, you don't get it. You don't get it. This is me. You don't get it. So anyway, all right. So I'll move now forward. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to when I was ready working. I was out there. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
It was a song called PYT by Michael Jackson. Now.
If you don't know that song, pause this thing and
smack yourself.
Smack yourself and then go down the road for an experience.
Exactly. Go in.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible.
That's one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs ever.
Incredible. That's one of my favorite songs ever. Yeah, like, this is incredible, man, right? But my reason's different. So check this out. We were working. We did a lot of work with Michael back in the day, engineer work. And the producer I worked with, Rodney, was really good friends with him. So they sent us, we redid this song for Monica back in like early, I think it was like 2000, might have been 2001 or two. But Michael had them send us the original reels with all the audio on it. So we brought them up and we're in the studio and we have the original version and then we've got the multi-track of it, which multi-track for everybody means all the different elements, like what they used when they mixed the song.
Separated.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, they had the bass drums, the guitars, the vocals, everything. So I'm bringing it up and I'm sitting there in the studio listening to the parts individually.
Yeah.
And then I get to hear what they ended it with. And there's an engineer called Bruce Swedeen. And if, you know, he's guy's a legend. And a lot of this stuff is like nerd talk, but this guy's a freaking legend. He, just to know with what he started with on the tape, to what it ended up being literally hurt my feelings.
Really?
Like, literally made me not want to do this anymore. Because
why?
It was that incredible.
Really?
The mix from what it started as to what it got to, the final one. I literally sat there. I was like...
Because that song's a vibe.
No, it's a vibe. But you should hurt, like, the original one. It was like... Just picture all those... all dry and just there. And just to know what he did to it. Like, it hurt my... Like, right now, I literally feel like I should not even be mixing records. I shouldn't be taking people's money to mix records because of how good that sounded. And I know I... And I tried.
Yeah.
To you know, try to get something out of it. You know what I mean? And I was like, I am fucking horrible. Like, I am literally...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. Insane. You know, the talent that man has. He's in... I think he's in Orlando now, but he's... Obviously retired. He definitely did well for himself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, he's like, he did all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he had a point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That on every one of them, too. And every Quincy Jones production ever. You know what I mean? He's that. That's his guy. So he could chill. He deserves it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He's hanging out.
But staying on Michael Jackson, this is a crazy story. I think I've told you this before, Jordan, but I'm going to share it with everybody. There was a song a few years ago called Rock My World. Rock My World. And it was when Michael...
Man, I like every story you have about this song.
This
experience.
It's fire. This is unbelievable, man. So we had been working with Michael for like a couple of years now, working on different things back and forth. Because that album took, he was going through like some contract issues and things like that. So we just kept working though, you know what I mean? And it was like, you know, it's Michael, you know what I mean? So it was like unbelievable. So we're in the studio and Ronnie Jerkins was the producer of the song. He added a bunch of like keyboard parts to it. And Michael... We called over to tell Michael, because he had the whole studio in Miami rented out. He had every room. Yeah. So we called the other room, like, yo, Mike, come over and check this out. So we lowered the lights. Mike, like, you know, everything was a vibe. You know what I'm saying? It was a vibe. It's blasting. So Ronnie played everything live. Like, he's a real player, this guy. You know what I mean? So it wasn't, like, looped or anything.
It was amazing.
Yeah. So he was like... So Michael comes in, the song's playing, and Ronnie's listening, hearing parts as it's going down. So Ronnie's playing it. So if we got a picture, I'm at the board... looking back to Rodney and Michael, but Rodney's looking at his keyboards and Michael's to his right.
Yeah.
So he can't see Michael. You know what I'm saying? So playing along, Michael bust out the kick.
The kick.
Like, if you guys don't know the kick, come on, man. What are you, like, who are you? You know what I'm saying? But Rodney didn't see it. I literally fell off the, like, I fell. Like, oh my God. And Ronnie's like, what? What happened? What happened? What happened? I'm like, bro, you didn't see it. And then Michael did it so nonchalant. He was just like chilling. And then wah, wah, wah. And then back to like chilling. And it was like, but it was so fast. And I was like, Ronnie, how did you not see that? He's like, what happened? What happened? And of course, we didn't have cameras or anything. Exactly. You know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't like that. But man, like, I got to see Michael in person do the kick thing.
Out of like...
Out of nowhere.
Out of energy, though.
Yeah.
He wasn't even like, you know, he wasn't sitting there like choreographing a dance.
He felt it.
He felt it and
he fucking hit it, dude. Yeah. Bro, dude. It was wild, man. It was wild. I would never forget
that.
That
makes me
think,
too, like, that's probably how he came up with that, too. Mm-hmm. He was just sitting around one day and was just like, couldn't help it.
Like, got the excitement and just like, pong, boom, right? Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but you see that in person, it's like something you never forget. You know what I'm saying? No. How could you? You know what I mean?
That's nuts.
Yeah, man.
Talk about like an intimidating energy in a room too, I'm sure.
Well, let me tell you, I was definitely, you know, you definitely stay very quiet. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I mean, it's Michael Jackson's in the room. So it's like, you know,
the
you
master.
Just, yeah. And then, but the cool thing that I did learn is like, just when you think you're doing well, like he'll like inspire you more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's like, all right, just push it. You know, can you push it somewhere?
Oh, no, you got to push it.
Yeah, exactly. And we were working for like a week on these little parts and it was slamming and the room, you know, obnoxiously loud. It had like 418s and like all the surround speakers were on. Like, they wanted the back ones on. It was all playing stereo, but it was so loud in there you couldn't even breathe. And it was like, and you just know you're killing it. You know what I mean? And then you're just not. And Michael's like, oh, I think it's great, but maybe you should try. And we're just like, okay,
and then
Michael.
You do it and you're like, oh.
He was right again, right? Again.
Damn.
Yeah, man. MJ.
Just sizzles when he walks into a room, just stands there and doesn't move.
Like, your hair would go flat if you walked in there. The wind comes out, man. The wind. Oh, man. Wild, wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a dope one.
And you went to Neverland Ranch.
Was out there for a while, dude.
Broke down in a go-kart?
I told you that.
Yeah. That's one of the craziest stories. You got to tell that story.
I'll tell. So we go to Neverland, and when you arrive, it's the wildest thing you ever seen. So they're all out there in, like, height order, the whole staff. like short to tallest, and they introduce you, pull up to the drive, and they're like, "Hi, I'm responsible for, if you are hungry, you will call me. I will be the person for this." Security's there. Everybody's there. Anything you want, like 24, it was wild. But then everybody gets their own golf cart. Yo, these golf carts are so bang, and they had systems in them. Like, I'm talking about like slamming.
Like real ones.
Yeah, like real stereos. You could not change the input, and you could not eject the disc. It was his greatest hits disc, the gold one.
Oh, man.
So you couldn't change it. That was all that was on. But why would you? It's part of the experience.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they're all painted up, Neverland. They got the old Peter Pan on them. They're all painted. But the systems are, I mean, I'm talking about it's knocking.
Like
super,
better than my car.
Like, for real, dude. Like, whoa. It was so... That kind of leads to why it happened. So you're jamming.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things are, they're, you know, back then it's not, I'm sure things have changed a lot, but we're going back almost 20 years, 15 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So you ride them and you got the stereo going and, you know, it doesn't have the charging capability that a car has. You know, you're not supposed to be cruising with them like that. So I'm out exploring the ranch and my golf cart dies because I had the stereo on, I guess maybe too long, or maybe I just rode it too long. It wasn't a gas one. It was like, I don't know what the heck was going on. But anyway, yeah, so I'm stuck now out there with the animals. I got a million stories.
Miles away.
And I'm just like, yo, what do I do? And then I'm not gonna lie, out of nowhere, some guy pops up to pick me up. Like, I feel like it's like, oh, I guess you were watching me the whole
time. Like, he had to have already known you were about to break down and started already.
He was en route. Yeah. Like, it was like a couple minutes later, he just pulls up. And I'm like, he's like, hey, do I have a problem? Come on, I'll bring you back over, get you another cart. I'm like, great, thanks. You know, so it like,
it's magical.
Security's no joke around there. Yeah, it's definitely a magical place, man. A magical place.
All right. So basically, coolest experience ever.
Yeah, it was pretty sick.
Yeah,
it's pretty sick.
All right, I'm gonna quote Fabian. What else you got?
What else I got is, so I'll fast forward a little bit now. Now I'm more, you know, because it could go all over the place because music's so
important.
Right,
that's the hardest part.
Yeah, it's like, what do you pick? You know what I'm saying? So we'll do a couple. But anyway, Go DJ by Lil Wayne. All right.
Now, I don't know.
You know, you're not familiar with this
song. I
love
Lil Wayne, but I don't know.
So this song was one of the first. All right, so I'll put it this way. Wayne was like always a beast rapper. You know what I'm saying?
He's a beast. He's a dog.
All of that.
Problem.
Yeah, man. Go, Jordan.
Okay, you a goon. What's a goon?
So there was a song called Go DJ, and it was actually one of the first songs that kind of brought him to the next level. And people's as audience wise and crossed over to him. But what happened was we were mixing it. A lot of this stuff is about, you know, technical things. Cause that's my life. You know what I mean? Yeah, Sorry if I'm boring you guys.
No. I think it's interesting for people to hear exactly what you do behind the song, because I don't think people realize how important what you do is. And I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass because you're sitting here and it's your episode and whoa.
Look at me.
But seriously, to take, if you could hear some songs, like you're saying, like PYT, if you could hear some songs before somebody puts their touch on them and makes them, it literally is like, I always use the example of you build the house, you buy the furniture, you put it all up, and then the mixer kind of goes in and puts art on the walls, puts the couch where it's supposed to be, all of this stuff. It's like, imagine walking into a room with a pile of furniture versus walking into like a furniture store.
just a display room. Just stuff sitting everywhere. Yeah.
And if you could hear some of these songs that like everybody loves before a mixer gets a hold of them, let alone you, it's like, it literally is a different song.
Yeah, it's a whole different experience for sure.
I think so many people don't know about that, and they think they do.
Right, that's frustrating.
Yeah, they think like, oh no, you know, it makes it like make some stuff louder.
Right.
It's not about making it louder. It's about
putting it places.
Yeah, you change the frequency that sticks out the most. You change the like bottom end of the way it feels. You change like you stack stuff. If there's a stack of stuff, which ones are louder?
It's
which
super
ones
nerd.
Should be? It's crazy.
It's like nerd.
And then the chorus is coming up, so that's got to change. And then it's like, okay, what are you doing in the chorus to make it like bam? You know,
make it bigger than what you just did to make this
the second
as big
verse
as possible.
It's got to come down, but it can't come all the way. It's like crazy.
It's a lot of stress.
I can't do it.
Yeah, well. You'd be surprised. I bet you could, because you understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Not, I understand it like somebody who's just learning to read can read Dr. Seuss.
You know what I mean? All right. In her dreams. Yeah. No, Dr. Seuss, not her. Forget it. That's an inside joke. Yeah. We're not sharing that with you guys. But listen, this song, Wayne. So at the time, Southern rap music was a lot of party stuff. You know what I mean? It was a lot of like, hollering and hooting and all kinds of things. So, and there was like, if you think about tracks, because you're a singer, so if you look at your lead vocal track, back then, rap songs, especially from the South, had 10 or 12 tracks of leads, doubles. Yeah. Not ad-libs, I'm talking about a stack, different tone. Let me do it lower. Let me do it this. Yeah. And it was like this whole thing. So I remember going to the studio and I was like, dude, this is a mess. Like, and I'm just coming off of working with Toni Braxton and Whitney Houston and you know, singers, like voices. Yeah. Where it's like, there's one track. What am I going to do with all these tracks? You know what I'm saying? So I remember I was in there with the owner of Cash Money Records. His name is Slim. We were trying to figure out, like, man, what can I do with this? Because I just wasn't happy with it. You know what I mean? And I was like, these guys are real big dudes. There's 100 of them in the room. I don't want to insult anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm just like, dude, this could be better. You know what I mean? What could we do? So what we did was I took out everything. I just muted all the other tracks.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, Wayne might fucking blow up, or it could be the dopest thing that he's done. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they were like, all right, it's too different. Bring one back in.
Yeah.
So we went from 12 down to 2.
Oh, wow.
And that song actually propelled Wayne, and it really changed. And it, like, I'm not going to jerk myself off. Oh, damn, I can't say that. I'm not going to, you
pat
know,
yourself on the pat back myself too hard.
On the back too hard, but it changed the way Southern rap was recorded and put out after that. Every record after that was a single lead track.
Yeah.
It was not about all the melodies and all, because it just became, and the song hit. I think it went to like number 4 on the charts. It wasn't like a number 1, but it was huge. It was his biggest record to date. And went, you know, him as an individual artist. And then that's what started the rise of Wayne. You know what I mean?
Damn.
So the I don't know if that was, Wayne. You know, what's that?
The rise of Wayne.
That sounded like a movie, right?
Yeah.
Gonna text that time.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Too bad that the Dodgers are wiping the Red Sox this week. But anyway.
Sorry, Wayne.
Sorry about that. But anyway, so to stay on Wayne, the next song that I got on my list is Lollipop.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think everybody knows that one.
Dude, the song was so big. Yo, I won 2 Grammys for that song, right? What a year. But
no big.
The backstory is I got fired from Wayne for the first time. We got into a huge fight about this song, right? Because I was like, dude, you are losing it. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know who's around you that's telling you this is cool. The auto-tune and all that stuff. Yeah. It wasn't out. Nobody did that.
Yeah.
I was like, I was like, bro, you're over if you do this. Please don't do this. Please don't. I'm begging you. I'm your boy. I've done all your records. I'm begging you. Fuck you, blah, blah, blah. I got fired. I got cursed out. They called me back, obviously. You know what I'm saying? So I ended up just doing a kick-ass mix on it. I was like, all right, I'm going to make the best out of what I can.
Yeah.
And fucking exploded, like one of the biggest songs I ever did.
You're like, oh.
So what I learned from that was just shut the fuck up and let the artist be the artist. You know what I'm saying? But man, no, it really changed a lot. Cause like, if you look at rap in today's state, and that was what, 2008? Yeah, it was 2008, 2009.
Something like that.
When, and you look at the state of like rap music, well, popular music now.
Yeah.
That whole sound was created by that record over 10 years ago. That I begged them not to do.
It's everywhere now.
Yeah, man. So it's like everything you turn on the radio, even your favorite artist that could really, really sing, have that on their stuff. So I learned from that, like, yo, I mean, it still to this day resonates with me. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm glad I got the Grammy sitting at my house. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know?
But it really resonates to me too.
It's a good reminder.
It humbled me. You know what I mean? To be like, dude, it's their song. It's their art. Enhance it, embrace it. It's not your song. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just be an extension of that.
I'm sure you get the receiving end of that a lot too, where it's like people are.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, you say this all the time, and I think it's like a pretty common joke in the music industry. It's there's always that one guy. Everybody loves the mix, and there's that one guy that has to say something.
Right.
Just to say something.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, no. And I think, but I have something for him. Did I tell you this? I think I did. Yeah. I always have something for that guy. Now I'll just make something super loud.
Yeah.
Like if I know I'm dealing with that guy, I'll give him something super loud so he could say it and be like, oh my God, you saved the record.
Oh, you're so right.
I what would we have done without you? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't believe it. You saved the day.
Yeah. Or the like, the real low blow of just sending back the same mix.
Oh yeah, I've done that before too.
Yeah.
I've done that before. So back in the day, there was we used to work on the SSL boards before they had flying fader.
Yeah.
Or automation is what it was on the SSL. There was faders, but you used to have to punch them in and then do your ride, but they weren't motorized, so you wouldn't see the ride.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget sitting in the studio and the lady had a million things that she had to say.
Yeah.
A&R, I'm not saying her name. And she's nobody now, so the nobody around now, so I'm not calling any of you girls out. I love all my girls. But this show, she She's like, it just doesn't sound pop enough, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, great. Can you, why don't you show me what you think it is? Because like, I've been doing this for 3 days.
Yeah.
Man, I think I'm lost. Why don't you show me, right? Yo, so she puts all the faders, blah, blah, blah. She's like, you know, killing it. She's like, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, really? I was like, all right, let me listen. I'm like, all right, well, listen, you didn't fucking change anything because you didn't engage any of the buttons. It's the exact, you were listening to, she moved the fader. So in her mind, she felt like she was doing something. She was so cocky about it though that I couldn't let it go. You know what I mean? I was just like, you didn't change a thing. Now please let us do what we do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And go the fuck home, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man. I haven't seen her much since.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah, so I mean, so Lil Wayne, I mean, that whole thing kind of pushed, like, it, everything blew up. You know what I mean? So from there, there was a song.
Well, he does all right.
Yeah, he does. He does. You know, he's decent, this guy. He does. He gets a, you know, makes a good living.
But, Red Sox fan, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We don't judge him on that. Shout out to Clinton. But all right. So there's another song now, Buy You a Drink by T-Pain.
Oh, yeah. A drink, well, I believe it's drank.
Drank. Well, it's D-R-A-N-K.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now that song, it's not so much about the song, it's about the moment in time. Because every time I hear that, Payne went on, like, it was 16 number ones in a year that he produced, wrote, featured on, or something like that. So every time I hear that song, I think about that's what started that. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was a great time, man. I bought a Bentley. It was incredible.
I bought a Bentley. Yeah, I sold a Bentley.
Yeah, I sold a Bentley a year later when it cooled down. When everything changed. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you know, when I think about that, it was just an awesome time. We're talking about like 2007, 2008, 2009. It was a crazy run. It was like a highlight for me. You know, it was like, it was like things were incredible. It was going great work-wise. It was going great. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you think about that time in music, it was just like, I feel like we're getting back there.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean? Like people are buying music
fun.
Again. Yeah, and it's
and
like
it's
a
like
good time.
Fun, good energy. People.
Yeah, man. I think it's getting back there.
Yeah.
But every time I hear that song, I think about what happened that year, you know, and in the years following, you know, for me on a personal level, well, business level, but you know, which goes into your personal life, you know what I mean? But then from there, I kind of get into, there was a weird time, and it's like, I don't know how deep we're going to go here.
You can't go for it.
All right, man. So listen, around that time, like I was becoming a workaholic. You know what I mean? It was white life was crazy. And you start not paying attention to things in your personal life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it gets like, you start getting, I mean, anybody can only do 100% of one thing. You know what I mean? You can't be 100% everywhere. You know what I mean? So, and it was like, so business was incredible, but my personal life was starting to get like, it was just a fucking mess. You know what I mean? And then I ended up, I got divorced. And it was like, I was devastated, you know what I mean, at the time. And there was a song that had come out, and it was, and it's totally not, it's funny, it's not, the story of what's in the song is not relevant to me.
Yeah.
But it's just one line of the song.
It's all it takes.
Yeah, that literally, that connects to me, because this song called Runaway by Kanye West.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pusha's on it too. It's one of my favorite verses from Pusha ever. But in the song, Kanye's talking about, you know, he's basically, and even pushing the song too, they're just pieces of shit. They dogging out their girl. They're doing this, they're doing that. That's what the whole song is about. But for me, the one, there was one line, because it wasn't me. I wasn't out there. I kind of led up to the story that I was out there. I had a bunch of girls. No, it wasn't that at all. Like, no. I was actually,
you were in a studio in a dark room with a bunch of other dudes.
Exactly. Like, literally in there fucking sweating, stinking like a pound of weed every time I get home, because everybody just wanted to die by the time I left there. But There was a line in the song where it says, I guess I'm so gifted at finding what I don't like the most. So it's like, and because I remember my mindset at that time, and it made me have to change it, was when I heard like that song, I was like, man, people feel the same way I do.
Yeah.
Because I was like, everything was just so negative. Like I was going through, you know, I was separated, living in different places, trying to figure out where I was going to land. I had a Bentley, but I literally was living in it. You know what I mean? Like I would drive. I put like 3,000 miles on that car in like a month. I literally drove all over the country because I was just so mentally screwed up. And then, so basically, you know, I'm fucking getting a little choked up here, but I would always end up like in a different city, and I kind of lost all my clients too because I was so mentally fucked up.
Yeah.
I like literally lost all my big clients. So this is like started like a really dark time. I was like, you know, because when you live in a high life in the music business, I always tell people now, live below your means.
Yeah.
Live, if you could spend $1 million, if you could afford to spend $1 million, that means you're supposed to spend $200,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even think about stuff like that. But, you know, the music had, like, the rug got swept from under my feet. And I remember listening to that song, and I was like, man, somebody like Kanye West gets it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he, to me, he's the biggest power in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for me, like, the guy, he understood what I was feeling just for that one line.
Yeah.
When I hear that, I was like, all right, man, I got to get my shit together. Cause I'm attracting negative now and I'm just being negative. Everything's negative. Like I'm literally cruising around. I got a cool car, but I have nothing else. You know what I'm saying? I'm literally just cruising around.
That's,
you know,
said
what I mean?
A lot too, though, you know, you really do. You can surround yourself with cool things, but if you're not,
you feel empty. You're just dead. Yeah. You know,
if you're
what I mean?
Not cool, if you're not like happy,
right?
It doesn't matter what you have.
Yeah, never. Yeah,
no.
And I learned that
you're just
going
to find more unhappy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all you can do. You know what I'm saying? Because you're attracting it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, man. Those were the dark times. was that a good fellas? It's like I couldn't even get a good plate of marinara to get me ketchup and noodles. Oh man.
Leave it to Fabian to bring it back with a Goodfellas quote.
Exactly. Hey, I always do, man. So
I watched it this morning, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's been on.
Yeah.
It's good. So, all right. A couple more songs and I'm done. There's, around the same time, I actually was spending a lot of time in New York. Drove there, by the way. So I'm in New York and I was running with these guys. It's funny. I was the only white dude with the Terror Squad.
Yeah.
So everybody else, they all speak. I don't speak a word of Spanish.
Yeah.
But those are my boys. That's my family. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in New York and all I would listen to, I would go to Washington Heights. Like anytime anybody wanted to find Fabian, you would find me up there hanging out. And there's this artist named Hector Lavoe, who's a legend, like super legend. Yeah. And his two songs, Agua Nile and El Cantante. They made a movie about him. What you call it? Mark Anthony, but J-Lo was in it. They made a movie about it a couple years ago. If you haven't seen it, you gotta watch it. It's legendary.
All right.
It's legendary. But the funny part of these songs was, it's just, I remember that time because this is when I'm starting to feel good again after that. You know what I mean? After the whole thing.
It's feel good music.
Yeah, it's parties, it's vibe. But you know, the funny part is, I don't speak one word of Spanish. Like, I literally had a system in my car blasting.
You still do.
Yeah. But I literally have no idea what they're saying. One word. I don't speak one word of it.
It's the vibe.
It's the vibe, man. I'm just out there having a good time. So those songs kind of got me starting to get happy again. You know what I mean? Kind of get me back into my, into my groove. Yeah. I can't dance. I can't anything, man.
But it
didn't stop me. No,
didn't
definitely
stop you from trying.
No, you would literally see me sit on the hood of my car with the music blasting. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't dance. You just pull up your pants and
do the rock away. lean back or something like that, I believe. That's another good one too. Another good one, man. All right, but listen, this leads me to my last song.
All right. Take us home.
And this is a funny one. I got a funny story about this. But the song is called Made to Love You by Gerald Levert. All right?
I don't know it.
I had never heard it either. So I had, like, a little bit after that, I met my now wife, Victoria.
Yeah.
And she was like, we dated, fell in love, got engaged. So we're planning our wedding song. You know, what are we going to dance to? This is a hilarious story. So she's like, I really love this song. I heard it and I was like, oh man, this is great. Like, there's a couple of, you know, this really relates to us. This is a beautiful song. And it's like still one of my favorite songs. So me being me, and I told you, I can't dance.
Yeah.
Like, you know I can't dance.
I am very familiar with the fact that you can't dance.
Yeah, you've seen it. You've seen me try.
Occasionally you'll have just enough to drink that you'll, like,
you do a couple,
start to boogie.
Yeah, but then that's
then
it. Then
you
then
will
I catch
quickly
myself.
Withdraw that boogie.
All right, so listen to this. So the song, I'm listening to it. I'm like, this is great. Now we're committed to it. You know, you got your first dance, right?
Yeah.
So me being the engineer, I go in the studio. I slow the tempo down.
Yeah.
And so we play. So I didn't play it for Victoria until at the wedding. So I gave it to the DJ. So we're dancing, and she's like, "Why is it fewer?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" But it's at a tempo I could actually dance to, because it was a little too fast to do the slow dance, a little too slow to do my, you know, my two step that I know how to do. You know what I'm saying? So I slowed it down.
Pretty strong, right?
No, I kept the same pitch, though. I just slowed it down. So we're dancing to it, and I'm like, all right, you done? And she's like, no, what are you doing? Like, we're literally fighting on the dance floor at our first dance. She's like, what are you doing? Stop. She's pinching me. She's like, stop. I'm like, come on, I'm embarrassed. Everybody's looking at us. So, what she also didn't know was, after the first hook, I took out the whole second verse, the bridge. So after the first hook, it goes to the vamp and out. So she's like, you mother. She's like, I cannot believe. She's like, you 3 minutes. You can't give me 3 minutes. She's like, you can't give us 3 minutes.
You think, no, get used to it.
She didn't get those 3 minutes. Yeah, exactly. She only gets 1 minute now. Oh. I'm gonna edit that probably too.
Nah, that's saying in there.
Oh man. But anyway.
And your next song is Minuteman.
Minuteman. Oh man, that's a way to bring it out. No, man, but that's my track to life, man.
Right on, man.
Appreciate you
having
me.
Thank you for sharing. Getting deep.
Pretty deep.
Yeah. You got personal. You got more personal than I did. I feel like my part two needs to
Is this a competition, Jordan?
A little bit now. I'm not competitive.
No, not at all. No, never. You should see him axe throwing.
There's no competition there. I'm just the best.
Well, everybody, listen, stick around. Keep checking us out. We got a lot of exciting stuff on the way.
Thanks for sharing your story, dude.
Appreciate it, brother.
Love you, man.
Love you, bro.
Yeah.
Peace.
We're back next week.
Yes, sir. Tracks of Life.
Boom.
Bow.